Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining into Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with a wonderful guest who is an expert on the topic of today's show. So you are in the multifamily industry. At different times, you might have been faced with offering concessions to attract or keep tenants. When is it a good time to offer concessions, and which concessions provide the biggest bang for the buck? With this in mind, our topic today is concessions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Joining me in the studio is Cody Stepanski, Regional Manager with the Carroll Management Group. Thanks for joining me today.
Happy to be here.
So let's start out, even though I'm sure most of our listeners know what concessions are, but why don't you give a definition of what a concession could be?
There's many different types of concessions that you can offer. You can do free rent. You can offer upgrades to the apartment. There's also the one-time fees when they come in, your applications, administration fees, things like that, that you can offer concessions on. So there's a variety of different ways that you can do it. It's really what best fits your property, that submarket, and just the prospect in general.
So when I have spoken to people in the industry about concessions in the past, more than many times I will get them kind of a look on their face of horror. Why is that? Why do concessions bring out that kind of reaction to some of the people in the industry?
I think the main reason is the thought process is the moment you start to offer concessions, your demographics can go down. Mm-hmm. So it makes it hard for them to lease, knowing that that is a possibility, that it's a future skip, eviction, things of that nature, because we tend to have people that are completely looking for that concession and they hop around, skip around once that special is done. So I think the majority of people, that's why that look comes across their face, is because number one, you're also losing the ability to continue your revenue, but you're also looking at a possibility of making your bad debt go up.
Okay. So. And I guess when you're doing fee management, third-party management, and you're getting potentially pressure from the owners who may be out of state, whatever, we need to lease this property up, then at some point in time, maybe concessions come up in that conversation to try and stimulate more leasing.
It does. Yeah. And sometimes you have the ones that want absolutely no concessions at all.
Right.
And your, you know, next door neighbor there is doing 2 months free. So it could be two different types of conversations. Your owners could be the ones pushing those concessions, or right, it could be that they don't want to do any. And now you've got to get creative on how to stay competitive without having concessions, which right, is not always the way you can get things done. So
you've got... In your current portfolio now, you've got properties that are in different submarkets around Houston, as well as I know you have one in San Antonio currently that you are managing. You look at in those different submarkets when it comes time to think about doing concessions, because it may be necessary in one submarket, but other ones, there's no reason to offer concessions.
Correct. Obviously, the first thing you want to do is your market survey. You mm-hmm. have to know what your competitors are doing to even begin to have a game plan. So that's really the first thing, is to make sure that your team is fully aware of what's going on. You do your market surveys. You look at what's going on in the area. But you also need to look outside of that particular submarket to see what's going on as well, because you always do have, I mean, we know in Houston, you can go 5 minutes down the road and it's completely different
right,
submarket. So, but you always have people that are moving. And so you really do have to be smart about what's going on, not only in your area, but surrounding. And then you just take a really good look at that and see what would be beneficial. Just because somebody's doing a 2 month free concession does not mean that you have to do the same thing.
Right.
So you have to be smart, because while you have to stay competitive, you also have to make money for
right,
your owner. So, but that's really the first step, is really knowing what your competition is doing, and then taking a really nice look at what kind of traffic's out there looking, what they're really looking for. Are they really looking for that concession? Are they looking for lower rent month over month? Are they doing it reoccurring? Or are they doing it one time? So there's a lot of different things, a lot of different aspects that you have to look at. But then you also have to keep in mind who your owner is,
right,
and how you know they're going to react to anything you bring to the table.
You know, you mentioned market surveys, and that's one thing that we really haven't talked much about on the show. How do you or what do you feel is the best way to do that market survey to get the best information?
Honestly, to me, you have to physically go out there and visit that property. And while they probably know who you are, the smartest thing that I think to do in that is to use your other properties and their leasing and have them go out and shop your comps for that property. So switch it up. So every leasing agent kind of takes a different property because they don't know you, right, and go in and shop them and act like you're a true prospect looking for the best deal out there. Because that's honestly how you're going to get the accurate information.
Right. So, and when it comes time, do you get a little pushback from your teams about having to do that? Do they feel intimidated by having to go into a property and act the part?
Not really. They kind of enjoy it. They feel like they're on a sneaky mission. So no, they actually enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
And plus it gets them out of the office,
sure,
for a little bit, but then they also get to learn about different markets around them. So
right,
it's very beneficial.
How often do you suggest they do that?
At least once a month, honestly.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, because we change so much every,
yeah,
day. So what somebody was doing yesterday, they might not be doing today, because we do. Anybody who's in this industry knows that it is a constant changing motion. So,
So you evaluate, for instance, let's say they go out and do a market survey of a property down the street, and all of a sudden they've been going every month, and now all of a sudden they're offering 2 months free rent. So they bring back that information, and how do you evaluate that to see if it's going to affect you and what you should do?
Well, I think number one, to kind of know what time frame of the year it is,
yeah,
that has a lot to do with it. If you're in the summer leasing months, you probably don't have to be so aggressive,
yeah,
right? But when you go into that fourth quarter, that can change everything,
right?
Because we know that not a lot of people are moving in that time frame, so you're really fighting for that traffic. So if they've turned and they've done something like that in that last quarter, that's going to impact you significantly. So you're going to have to make some pretty tough decisions on what you need to do to stay competitive, corner that traffic that's out there, and be able to sustain your occupancy, keep that up through that last quarter.
And you mentioned that one of the reasons why people kind of dislike cons is that it can bring in the kind of residents that could be problems down the road. So what is your best practices on how to try and screen those to make sure that if you bring someone in, you've got a good chance of them not skipping or you know, not having to have collection issues?
Yeah. So that, I think that really comes down to who you use as your screening company and what your screening criteria is. In this past 2 years in Houston, we've had a really large amount of fraud applicants that have come through, especially in some of the particular areas in Houston, like around your NRG area. That's been huge, mm-hmm, over there. So it's one of the things we had to look at and make some changes on, because typically your screening companies, they just check the normal things. We switched to one in particular that actually does a fraud background check. So if they cannot answer personal questions about themselves, it,
right,
stops them right there. So that's helped us a lot, because when you do have to run those kind of concessions in those markets that it's heavy on the fraud, you're kind of taking a chance. You never really know what you're going to get and what's going to happen. So those are some of the changes we did, was to try to look at how we were screening. Our screening criteria is pretty tough anyways, mm-hmm, but if you don't have that screening background that kind of counteracts that, then it can cause a problem. So that's one thing you can look at for sure, is making sure that you have those extra things in place to make you protected as much as possible. But one of the things too that we changed is when you do those 1 month free or 2 month free, they're coming in and they're not paying a dime from, mm-hmm, the beginning. So they're not really losing anything if something happens and they decide to leave. So one of the things that we do is we split it up. So you can have half the month, the first month, then the next month, the half a month. They're still having to come something out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so typically if you're going to have those people that have all the intention in the world to skip out on you or make you evict them, they're not going to come to your property. They're going to go to the one they pay nothing up front.
Right.
So they still get the benefit, a little bit more protected.
What, when you said that in the last year you've seen an increase in the fraud situation, is there anything you can attribute that to? Would it have anything to do with the hurricane or?
You know, we honestly don't know because that's something we looked at and we could say that it does, but it was happening before the hurricane. So, yes, we saw it go up a lot afterwards because they knew they had more of the ability to kind of sneak their way in a lot easier. But it was there before.
Yeah.
So it's just people have gotten really creative on how they do things. I mean, Facebook, it was a huge one that we found out about where they were actually posting on there as an employment. They would go in and lease your apartment for you and do all the things and meet you at the front door with their keys.
Wow.
And so we had no idea who was actually living in that apartment. So it became an issue for sure that you had to address. And concessions has a lot to do with that.
Wow. Okay. Well, great. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to be back talking more about concessions, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing concessions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is Cody Stepanski, Regional Manager with Carroll Management Group. I want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website, www.multifamilyradio.com. So, Cody, we were talking during the break about some of the things that people do with concessions. I've read a few articles about it from people around the country, and they mix and match and give, like you were saying in the first segment, they'll spread the free rent out over several months. One thing that I noticed that they said is that people who they surveyed who had done concessions where they offered free rent at the end of the lease were not getting success, and they weren't getting any traction with people taking advantage of that. They want to look at it at the front end, or they want to get something quickly. What have you found?
I agree with that. Obviously, when you move, it's expensive. There's a lot of different things that come into that between your moving expenses, your utility changes, things like that. So I think when they are out there looking for the concessions, they're more inclined to go for the ones that help them right off the bat with those moving costs and not so much at the end. I think a lot of that, too, has to do with most people in the world, even though we think we do. We don't plan ahead as much as we probably should.
Right.
So they're more concerned with the now than what's going to happen 10, 12 months down the road. So I would definitely agree with that.
Have you seen anything or tried anything with using either a combination of rent, free rent with like reserve parking or storage you know, anything extra like that, or just offering those things as opposed to the free rent? Has that something that you've done, and have you had any luck with it?
Sure. There's all kinds of different ways you can do different things to incentivize your residents, or your prospects. Obviously, the parking garages are huge if they're not attached, and you know that that's something important to that prospect when they're coming through the door. So that could be something that you'd offer, you know, hey, for your first 6 months, we'll give it to you at no cost. But you typically want that to kind of match into what their lease contract is. So mm-hmm. if you're going to do it, you really have to do it throughout that lease contract. But it is something that definitely is utilized. So free parking garage, free storage space. That's one of the hardest things to lease is the storage units.
Right.
So if you can somehow be creative with that to help get that leased, or maybe it's just a special. If they're typically 50, then you give it to them at 25, where they do feel like they're still getting something, but you're also still capturing some kind of income off of it at the same time.
Do you give your on-site teams at the different properties some flexibility in being able to offer those things, or do you try and keep it to a strict program specifically for that property?
You definitely want to do that, because if you just give it free rein, the next thing you know, surprise, you've got $25,000 in 1 month of one-time concession. So you definitely try to give that cap. So one of the things that I do is, if we've got 15 leases that we need to capture, then I'll tell them for the first five leases or the next five leases, let's do this. And once you've done that, let's go back and revisit and see where we're at. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also really important, too, to make sure your leasing team knows that any type of concession you offer should not be the first thing that comes out of your mouth.
Right.
It should be used as a closing tool for sure. If you can close it without it, then that's what you need to be doing. But if you feel like you need to throw that out there at the very last minute to see if that'll get them to sign that day, then they know they have it, but they should definitely not try to make sure that they close that with every single person that comes through the door. So I think it's very important to train them.
And did you start?
I did.
How can I tell that?
I did.
Actually, I've all the people I speak to in the industry, I've only personally spoken to one person who went the other direction. He started out in management and went to leasing. Everybody else seems to start in leasing and go to management. So when you do these mix and match type things, what type of feedback do you get from ownership as far as would they rather give free reserve parking as opposed to giving up some rent or
of course. Yeah, of course. If they can get the rent, the other things don't matter as much, because obviously where your revenue is going to be coming through is that rent.
Right.
Yes, on the other income, we want to do the best that we can. But if we can, you know, make sure we're charging the pet rent and things like that to make up for those types of mm-hmm. application, admin fees, your parking, things like that, your storage units. So yes, we would definitely like to get the rent more so than the smaller other income items that you can obtain. So I'm inclined to do that. But again, like I said, if you can even do that and still get some kind of income because they do feel like they're still getting something,
right?
It's obviously the best route to go.
Do you find that people are coming in to look at a property and they'll say, well, I went to this property and they offered this, and it was something that took your team by surprise? And then does that go out and start doing their surveys at that point?
It does. Because one of the things that we do is we have what's called a daily report. So every day they have to send in this report at the end that kind of just tells us what their traffic was, how many leases they got, cancels, notices, things like that. But at the bottom, it tells us, you know, reason for not leasing. So it'll have on there that, you know, they told us that this property next door is now running this special. And that obviously gets a conversation going between them and myself to see, okay, well then we need to go find out if that's actually happening. Did they show it to you in writing, or is it just something that they were saying? So you have to really be on top of things to be able to stay competitive, because especially last year, it was an extremely competitive market out mm-hmm. there. Everybody was fighting for everything, and you had all this brand new product that was leasing for less than properties that have been around for 20 years.
Right.
And that's very hard to compete with. So you had to get creative, but you had to be very smart about what was happening too at the same time.
How has it been for the past year as far as concessions? I've talked to different people in the industry, and they said, oh, we're not really having to do a lot of concessions at certain, you know, times. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, absorption comes into play and they're having to do more in the way of concession. How has the past year been with that? And was it affected at all by Hurricane Harvey?
Yes, I do think it was affected by Harvey for sure. But I think this past, since January anyways, of this particular year, you've definitely seen improvement quarter over quarter. It's starting to feel more like the Houston market that you're used to. I mean, obviously, we're still far from being exactly where we were a couple of years ago, but it's definitely improving, especially, I mean, obviously in more markets than others, but it's definitely showing improvement. You're not seeing those aggressive concessions like you were before. Yes, here and there, they're still out there. You don't see a whole lot of the 2 month to 3 month specials that they were doing.
Right.
But you still see those 1 month free, the pricing still dropping a little bit on their effective rents. So you do still see that we have a ways to go, but it's definitely improving. I've got a lot of properties out there that are not having to be so aggressive anymore with what we're doing. And they really kind of just kind of look at the rent itself. And for the first time in a long time, we actually still have these conversations about rent growth, which you haven't got to have in a while. So it's definitely getting better.
So just so our listeners know, what submarkets in the Houston area does Carol have properties in?
So they're all spread out.
Yes.
So I have them in the Katy, the Cypress, the Richmond, Southwest, and then we just obtained one in the north over by the Woodland Spring area.
Okay. So each one of those has its own different type of kind of.
It very much does.
Yeah.
Yes. Each one of them are not sister communities by any means, and they have very different submarkets that we have to be very aware of. So that's what I was saying too. It's good for the other leasing agents when they go and shop.
Right.
Because they're getting to learn different markets around them.
Right.
So if they ever switch over, they kind of already are familiar with it, which is good.
When you are talking with a leasing agent, a newer leasing agent who started the industry, what do you try and talk to them? I would imagine that they're driven to want to try and be successful. So they want to offer as much. You said never lead with a concession, but how do you kind of pull the reins back in on them?
Well, I think that has a lot to do with just the training. Right off the bat, you want to make sure that they're trained. To me, it's a lot easier to train somebody who has never been in our industry on leasing because everybody does it differently, right? Every management company does it differently. We all think we do it the best. So I think it's easier to train. But even the ones that have been in the industry, when they come over, it's really sitting down and kind of getting to know them and what their selling background is and how they like to approach and really knowing that personality and working around that personality to make them the best at what they're doing. But of course, they're money hungry. I mean,
Sure. That's
what leasing is, right? So they want to obtain everything, but then I think it's very important that you educate your leasing on the budget and the financials, because when they understand that, they're not so inclined to offer things the way that they do. But I think we fail that in that area of not really educating them like we do our assistants and our managers on what that number is, what that vacancy number means to what they do every day. So I think that's a huge part of it.
That's a great point. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back in a second, but I do want to remind you, if you would like to learn more about Multifamily Matters, go to our website at www.multifamilyradio.com. We will be back talking more about concessions after this short break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing concessions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is Cody Stepanski, Regional Manager with the Carroll Management Group. Before we get back in the conversation, I want to take a moment to thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. You know, we've talked for the first two segments, Cody, on new lease concessions when you're bringing a new resident. We haven't talked at all yet about resident retention, using concessions to get renewals and so forth. And during the break, you had said that that's probably one of the most contentious ones, topics for people where there's disagreement on what to do. You've got a resident who you want to try and grow that rent if you can, but yet if they looked around and saw there were concessions offered somewhere else, you've kind of in a situation where you have to kind of balance that out. So what have you found are the big topics or issues with retaining residents and renewals?
Yeah, that is a huge one, especially nowadays too, when we have our online, everything's listed online.
Right.
So they can clearly see what you're leasing a new unit at and how you're treating a new customer versus one that's been around. That's kind of with anything that you do. So it's a tough one on what you need to start off doing and kind of what you will be doing through the remainder of their stay with you. Because once you offer a renewal concession, then every time they renew, they're going to expect some kind of incentive on that. And it does make it hard to continue to get rent growth if you do that, because again, you're looking at the effective rent. So let's just say that you have different floor plans. And I think the most important thing when you're looking at a renewal and you're trying to decide what you need to do with that renewal, I think it's very important to look at how many of those floor plans you have available. Are you going to be able to turn it and lease it? And what are you leasing it for? If you can lease it for $1,300 and they're currently paying $1,000, mm-hmm. then you're okay with taking that notice because you know you're not going to raise their rent $300 to get up to that. So there's a lot of different aspects when it comes to renewals that you've got to look at. But I do think it's the biggest argument that people have is, do you offer a concession or do you base it just solely off the pricing? And to be honest with you, every asset I have to look at it differently because of who my demographics are and what they're looking for and what they ask for. But they are very informational people anymore. They really do have access at their fingertips.
Right.
So they're able to get all kinds of information and they're ready and prepared to sit down and discuss it with you.
Yeah. And I've spoken to a lot of people who are, you know, what I would consider old timers in the industry and, you know, boy, how the industry has changed as far as having that information available, the internet, you know, the way people would lease a property, sometimes they won't even show up at the property because they looked online and saw something that they didn't like about the property, so you can't even get them to come in and talk to you. And that's one of the things that one of our guests said, who indicated that we have no way of measuring how much lost opportunities that we have because of our online presence or reputation or whatever it might be. But when you're dealing with rules, I know that I've heard or the articles to prepare for the show that there was there were people who said, well, what's the cost of having to renew this lease? I've got a who's been no problems. They've paid their rent on time. You know, what can we do to keep them? Because they're the kind of people that we would want to have here.
Right.
And so they try to get creative with something. And many times they say that they don't bring up a concession, obviously, but they'll say, well, I checked at another property and they're offering something. And so then you've got to think about, like you said, analyze the situation. When you've got properties in all these different markets and you've got different managers and different leasing agents on the property, do you ask them to, when they get a renewal situation like that, to contact you so that you can help them work through the decision? Is that how it works?
Yes, it's exactly how it works. So, because again, we have, for me anyways, we have different equity partners. So there's expectations for those renewals too on what they're expecting to have. We have our business plans. So it's very important that communication is the key.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very active with my managers. Mm-hmm. We all communicate on a daily basis about all kinds of things, but renewals is definitely one of them. So they have the spreadsheet that they send, that they have the recommendations of what we're asking for the rent growth on each unit that we have that's coming up on expiration. And we work on 90 to 120 days out. If that resident comes in and they're like, hey, you know, I can't do this. And, you know, I did look over here and I see that this is offering. Well, number one, too, you have to have that talk with them about what it costs for them to move
sure,
too,
right.
Versus, you know, paying that $25 extra a month. But if there is something that we can do and they have been a great resident and they've been there for 5 years, I mean, mm-hmm. obviously you don't want to lose that.
Right.
But you also have to know, again, what your market's doing and you have to make smart decisions about it. So, and again, you have to know what your owner's expectations are as well. So I think it's very important that you do speak to one another, but not just simply say no. And sometimes it just has to be no.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they know that that manager is given the effort of trying to do something for them, which I think goes a long way too. So I, you know, again, I think just talking about it and seeing if there's something we can do is a great idea.
So you indicated you work about 60, 90 days out on your renewals and so forth. So what, just for the benefit of our listeners, what do you do or what do you ask your teams to do to start a conversation with the resident? Do you wait for them to come in to talk about it, or are they proactive and they go out and talk to them about what are your plans? You're coming up for renewal. We'd like to have you stay.
Yeah. So the first thing is we send out a friendly letter, basically, right. That just lets them know, hey, you know, you're coming up on your lease and we'd love for you to remain a resident here. They do invite them to come into the office and speak to them. And they also make personal phone calls. So they split them up actually throughout the staffing.
Right.
And everybody is responsible for so many different leases. So they actually do personally make a phone call because, again, you know, you're only helping yourself if you're doing things like that,
mm-hmm.
instead of just sending a letter and hoping that they come in and talk to you.
Right.
So, yes, they do make the phone calls. They have the conversations. They fill out how they, you know, how they're feeling about what they were told the initial offer is. But we do fun stuff, too, whereas if there's certain months, like in the summer, when you have so many people expiring and you want to retain at least 50% of that, you know, it's a good idea to run little specials where they, you know, hey, if you renew by this deadline, you'll only have a $15 increase versus whatever your original offer is that might have been 8%.
Mm-hmm.
So it does still make them feel like they're getting something. You're still getting a good increase and they're retaining their residency. So those are good ideas too that we've done in the past that have worked, but it also pushes the urgency for them to come and sign that because there's only that time
right.
frame to get that special. So I think that's a good idea too because you know, you're better off knowing what your back door's looking like, you know,
right.
as soon as you can. So those are some of the good ideas, too, that it's not necessarily giving them a concession, but they are getting a deal, but you're still getting that rent growth at the same time.
What other ideas have you utilized as far as that go towards resident retention, but that you do throughout the year? I mean, I know a lot of people do get-togethers
events.
And
yeah.
events and things like that. What do you try to do to there's a big push, and we've had some guests on that talk about creating a neighborhood or community, which
mm-hmm.
is so often lacking in multifamily.
Yes.
So how do you handle that on your properties?
So our properties are required to do at least one large one a month. If you do little things throughout the week, great. But you have to do one large event every month to bring the community in. And that's exactly what it is. But those are also great renewal opportunities for you to discuss people's renewals and,
mm-hmm.
and already throwing that out there for them to be thinking about it. Dog parks are obviously a huge amenity nowadays because you have a lot of pet lovers out there. So, you know, using those kind of events, too, to bring out where they're meeting other people with the same interests that they have.
Right.
So it is important because, obviously, even if they leave to go purchase a house, if they enjoyed where they lived, they knew their neighbors, they're going to recommend you all day long to people that they're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important for numerous things, not just about their renewal, but just in general, word of mouth. That's the biggest marketing that you can give yourself. So I think it's very important to have those events to make sure that they see you, they know you. They don't only see you when you're asking where their rent money
right.
is. You have a relationship that you start to build with them. So yes, the resident events are huge, but I think to me, the most important thing that we lack when it comes to renewal side is we move them in and we never see them again until we start talking to them about the fact that we want you to stay here.
Right.
So I think that it's very important for our agents to make sure that they continue that conversation. One of the most important things that we do is surveys. So every time that they have a work order done, there's a survey that goes out and says, hey, we know we just completed it. Did we do a good job? How is it? And then making a follow-up phone call after that to make sure that everything went well. Those little things are important to people. They
right.
really are. So I think there's a lot of things that you could do, but you have to be consistent on it. So.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, we are going to be back after these messages with our final segment of Multifamily Matters. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing concessions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm Paul Marks, and my guest is Cody Stepanski, Regional Manager with the Carroll Management Group. And one of the articles that I read, Cody, was talking, and I gave you a copy of it too, so you could kind of look through it, was talking about leasing concessions as extras. And there's a list of bulleted items that are included in here. And I just thought we'd run through some of them and let you kind of give your opinions of what they are. One of them, the first one is free garage or carport for a year. What do you think about that?
I think those are great ideas. Again, like I said, if they're on a 12-month lease, you want to have that concession go along with it throughout the entire lease. So I think that one's a good one.
And then no pet rent for a year. Now, that's cutting into, you know, a pretty good revenue source.
It is. I'm not sure go for that one just because when it comes to the pet rent, a pet owner, like I said before, they're kind of a community that they like to be around each other. So if they find out one's not having to pay for their pet every month, that could be a problem. So, that would probably be the one of the last ones on my list.
Okay. And they got to refund the application fee, which you had actually mentioned before. So that's something that's doable. Reduced security deposit. I don't know.
I think that's a good one
because
the security deposit obviously does not bother your operating expenses. So I think that's a huge one that people like to offer.
Okay. All right. When you see these specials or these banners on properties when you're driving down the street and it says no move-in fees and things like that, is that what that means?
Pretty much.
Security deposit?
Yeah. No application, no administration, no deposit.
Okay. Then a free additional storage for you. You said that was a big thing because it's hard to lease storage space.
And they're sitting there vacant anyways.
Right.
So you're not really losing anything, but you're giving them something that they feel they're getting an incentive on. So
okay. And then we've got doesn't really affect us down here. Free heating through for the winter months. I mean, I don't think there's any. You don't charge it for heating there. But by the same token, we don't have a lot of need for heating during the winter months in Houston.
Right.
Free cable for a number of set months. Normally today, I thought cable was the cost of their residence. And I guess in some properties around the country,
there's still some that have that bulk cable, but for the most part, none of mine have that. So that wouldn't be anything that we could offer.
All right. And you've got, this says here, free washer and dryer for a year. Now, normally, I think that they generally come with washer and dryers.
Correct.
Now, at least in the class properties that you have.
Correct.
Yeah. So you don't charge extra. That's not a revenue source for you. It's part of the rent.
Yeah. And most of the time, if they don't, I mean, that's really up to the resident. I don't think we really rent them for them anymore. That's not anything that goes through our financial expenses. So, yeah, I don't think that would be one for the Houston market.
All right. And then one room furnished free for a year. I would think that would be more of a hassle than...
Extremely, yes.
have to deal with
it
that.
And you're now responsible for it. The wear and tear on that. I mean... Yeah. Are you just going to give it to them at the end? I mean, that's really what you would end up doing anyway. Yeah.
Then there's also some people get creative and they give out iPads or prepaid debit cards, gas grills. I don't think that's something that we see a lot in this part of the world. Memberships to health club. Most properties generally have a fitness center on site. One of the things I thought was pretty interesting is that they put together packages for different sporting events or concerts and people choose. Is that something you've seen down here?
Yeah, especially with the Astros tickets. That's huge right now and last year. So, and just like the rodeo, things like that when it comes. I mean, people want to go, but they don't necessarily want to spend that money. So it's something fun to do. And that's another renewal incentive that you could give where you have the drawings. So you're not necessarily giving it to everybody, but you have the drawings that if you come in and renew by this time, or if you, you know, lease with us, a look and lease, those are things that we've done where you've done the drawings. So they put their names in and they have the chance to win those things. Another good one is like the water park. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, when it's hot, you want to be in the water, but it's expensive to go to those places sometimes when there's four of you. So it does become beneficial. So
how, do you find that your teams at different properties get creative, come to you with ideas of different things like the water parks and so forth? Is that how it starts sometimes?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
For what we do, you have to have some kind of a marketing mind, really, and a creative background. So they get online and they'll start looking at things and coming up with different ideas, and they share them, which is great because we have a chain email that we send out every Thursday where the teams tell what their goals are for the next week and how they're going to obtain them, and then they'll share any great ideas that they came up with. So they're very much work together, even though they're so far apart.
Right.
They work together on it. But yes, that is how they come up with a lot of ideas, is they really start to look and see what everybody's doing or just unique ideas. But, you know, I think my team I'm pretty happy with and lucky to have, because not only do they do that, but they look at what would benefit their community at the same time, like the back to school. Mm-hmm. There was one of my agents that came up with an amazing idea, but it also benefited kids for their school supplies at the same time and also gave them a chance to vote for their favorite teacher at that school.
Oh, wow.
And they get presented with this big gift. So they definitely come up with a lot of great things that not only helps us, but helps others too. And I think that's probably the best things you could do.
Yeah,
so.
That is great. That is great. We talked a little bit in the last segment about creating a sense of community on the property. And you had indicated that your teams on site, you have a once a month event that they do and so forth. And we talked a little bit during the break about a partner that does this for properties. You called it CARES Team, and I think they go by Apartment Life now, and they've been on our show. And I know that there's a lot of people, not only in Houston, but around the country that use them. But describe what that is and where you see the advantages and how that helps your teams to take care of making that community feeling on the property.
Sure. I think that's a very beneficial company. If you can use it, it's great. What they ask for is really not anything major. I mean, they get their apartment and then what our marketing expenses every month. But to be able to have that community feel and build that and take that away from the on-site team of having to do, it's been amazing because in our industry anymore, I mean, we're constantly moving. We're fast paced. You don't have time to do most of what you need to do in a day. So you definitely have to stick to a schedule. And while it's important to do those things, we can't always give it the best attention that we probably should. But this kind of company, they do an amazing job. I mean, they live on your site, they get familiar with your residents, and they start to build that relationship with them. And then they have those events that takes it away. Our team just gets to show up and have a good time with the residents. And isn't that what it's supposed to be about?
Right.
I mean, not that they're stressed and they're running around. You've got a company that's doing that for you. Mm-hmm. But so you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. You get to be a part of it as the team. You get to know your residents. You get to have a good time and talk to them, which is why they come to these events to begin with. And this team's doing everything else for you. So I think it's one of the best decisions we made to put it on one of our properties. And hopefully in the future, we'll continue to grow that within the portfolio because they've done an amazing job.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that that one of their clients mentioned on a show previously was that oftentimes the residents, if they have a concern or they're thinking about leaving, that the team, the CARES team or the Apartment Life team will learn about it and have an opportunity to bring into the conversation the on-site staff to allow them to be proactive and try and resolve whatever issue may have been there or see what they can do to help with resident retention. And really, that's what they're there for, I think, is to help with resident
Absolutely.
Retention.
Absolutely.
So hopefully, if anybody has an interest in that, I will reach out to them in the website for this episode. I'll put their website. You're welcome to go there and click on it and talk to the folks at Apartment Life. So let's talk a little bit about you and your background and how you got in the industry. You already divulged the fact that you started out in leasing, which is not a shock for this industry. Tell us about you, and then let's talk a little bit about Carol.
Sure. Well, this probably tells my age, but I was looking through a newspaper one day and saw an ad for a leasing consultant. And I was like, that sounds interesting. I wonder what that is. So that's how I got started. And I moved up quickly to an assistant's role, obviously, then to a property manager. I've been in the industry 24 years,
wow.
And I've pretty much done every part of it that you could imagine. It is very true that you definitely learn to wear many hats in this mm-hmm. industry. But I think that's great. It's what makes it fun. It's what keeps it exciting on a day-to-day basis. I've enjoyed every moment of it. That I would ever do anything differently, I tried. And it lasted like 3 months and I came right back. So I enjoy it. I love what I do every day. It is stressful, but again, it's who I am, honestly.
Yeah.
So, and I worked for some great companies in this industry and some really wonderful mentors along the way, which helped me become what I've become and where I'm at. And I owe it a lot to them. But, you know, I worked for a company for almost 6 years, and I had my family, and anybody who's in this industry knows once you have that family, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
And when you have to make that change, it's hard. But I do feel where I'm at and have been for the last 6.5 years with Carol, I found it again.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy with the company that I'm with, and I've been able to grow with them. And honestly, everybody that I work with, I couldn't imagine being with a better group of people.
Yeah. And you know, so often we hear about, I talk to people and they say, you know, I had no intention of getting into this industry. Like you, they saw an ad, or they had a friend who said, was working at a property somewhere and said, well, we're looking for somebody to do this. And they show up, and all of a sudden, you know, 25 years later, they're still in the industry doing this. And you know, maybe they were going to school to do something in oil and gas, but they found something that they really enjoy and that they love. Let's talk quickly about Carol. I know Carol is based out of Atlanta. Tell us a little bit about the company and if someone wanted to reach you, how they could reach you.
Okay. Company. And like I said, we have some great people that that work within this company. And yes, we're based out of Atlanta, but they have properties in Tennessee and Florida, in the Carolinas, Alabama, obviously Texas, mm-hmm. most important, by the way. So, and just, you know, in all different areas. And again, I mean, it's a company that's an investment company. So they look to go in, do a great deal on them, sell them eventually, and then turn around and buy something else. Mm-hmm. So it's a great company to work for. And if you are looking, you can actually reach me at Cody, C-O-D-I dot Stepanski at carolmg.com. Always looking for great talent. So yes, definitely reach out if you're interested.
And that's Carol, C-A-R-R-O-L-L.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much, Cody, for being on the show today. I think we covered pretty well concessions. There'll be much more to talk about, I'm sure, as the market changes in Houston. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters. We'll be back next week with another episode of Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.